Greetings, we are the Boss Prophets and the Generals, Dr. Apostles April
and Andrew, and we are here with your weekly supernatural word of empowerment.
We decree by the power of God that what you are about to hear will begin to shift you into
your new season.
Let's listen in closely as the word is already in progress.
The body of Christ is lacking order. We must follow the order of God. Building KCI, there's going to be order in KCI. If you don't want to stay here because of that, then we give you a blessing and say, go on down the street to the next church. But we ain't changing up the things that God has told us to do. There's going to be order in this ministry. There's going to be apostolic order. It has to be order when you're building God's kingdom. That's the only way to do it.
Amen, man of God.
Amen.
I done had so many people come in and come out of my church. I'm used to it now. So I ain't afraid of losing nobody. I care about your soul more than I care about losing your flesh.
Come on now.
Yes, God.
My God. It's going to be order in KCI.
Yeah.
Amen.
And it should be order in your life and in your particular household.
Amen.
It should be order. If you really got the heart of God, if you really got the vision of God, you should want God's order. Mm-hmm. You should want God's will. You should want God's purpose. You should want God's timing. Because if you follow God, you can't go wrong. But when we try to do it ourselves, that's when everything begins to fall apart. I love you guys very much. Father, I thank you for the word. I thank you for ordering my mouth, Lord. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, for placing these things concerning the order of your kingdom, the order of your house, the order of your church upon your people. Lord God, may it have pricked hearts and not just go in one ear and out the other. But may the people apply it to their life for what they heard on this line this morning and this afternoon. Lord God, let it be so. Let it be yea and amen. In the mighty, miraculous name of Jesus, I decree and declare so by the power of God. Amen and amen and amen. I love y'all very much. Be sure to understand the order of God. I suppose I was going to catch possibly prayer off guard, too. I was going to have her sing a song the Lord dropped in my spirit before the service. She was probably going to beat me up, but I end up forgetting. I should have you singing now, but I ain't going to do that.
Amen.
But say amen, people. That's up to her if she want to sing something. But say amen as she comes forth for final words. I love y'all. I love y'all so much. Say amen for our Lake Lady. God bless you.
Amen. Woo. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank God.
Powerful word.
You did nothing but preach the unadulterated. I'm telling you, you spoke wisdom, you spoke strategy, you gave us nuggets, you gave us empowerment, and you gave us equipment to utilize on this week. A house of God, for your obedience unto the Holy Spirit. Order is very, very true. Order is a kingdom word. Order is a kingdom word. I know that without order, there's confusion. In any area of your life, without order, there stands a great possibility for confusion, for disorderly conduct. I know in 1 Corinthians 14:33, it talks about how God is not the author of confusion. What that means is saying, or what the first part of that scripture is really saying, is that God is not a God that does not operate in He uses order in how he disciplines us. It may feel like your life is all over the place. It may feel like you're just a discombobulated state. But what God is doing, trust me, is in his perfect plan, his perfect will. Mm-hmm. Everything is placed exactly where it should be. You may not know because God said you will never understand his ways. His thoughts are above yours. His ways are above yours. But I just want to encourage you on today to rest in God. Allow God's order to take and penetrate, infiltrate your life completely. You know, when people come into this ministry and we begin to cultivate them and train them, I am a person that observes. See, because I believe a person tells me more in their nonverbals. A person will explain more about them and what they don't say rather than what they do say. So a good example of how I can expect or how I can foretell how you would behave if we give you a certain title or give you a certain responsibility, I just take a look past you and I look behind you. I look at your lifestyle. I look at your household. I look at how you are with your children. I look at your marriage. Because if there's no clear indication that there is order in how you discipline your children, if there's no clear indication that there is harmony in your relationship, then I can truly tell basically how your life is. Because a life, you got to understand this, we can't even infiltrate. Apostle Andrew Smith and myself, we can't even begin to talk about how there would be order at KCI. We didn't have order in our marriage. If we didn't have discipline in our household, we wouldn't know where to begin or how to even talk to you or convey a vision to you if God didn't first get our house in order in the beginning. Because like I've told people all along, that the marriage is the first ministry. And then KCI is built upon our marriage. Without Apostle Smith and our marriage being in order, KCI would not be in order. Because KCI was birthed out. It is a child. It was birthed out from the loins, from the genes, from the lineage of both Andrew and myself. This is our baby. So it takes the two of us to work coherently and to be effective with KCI. But it's not just about us. We are the example. Same with you all. Most of you all on here have a ministry. You have a ministry, whether you're going to go into full-time ministry being pastor, whether you're going to have a ministry for women, a jail ministry, a men's ministry, children's ministry, whatever ministry it is. Let's just say a ministry of empowerment. If you have a ministry that God wants to birth out, he's not going to just start with you, with your ministry, and how you're going to go out into the jail cells and dealing with children. No, 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 no. You're missing something. He begins first with you. He begins to train you when it comes down to dealing with your children. He begins to train you when it comes down to dealing with things in your marriage. He begins to train your temperance. He begins to train you in the fruit of the Spirit on your job when you're working a secular job. He begins to test you with how you deal with disorderly conduct when people come against you to blaspheme you. He tests you in those areas, but he's testing how true will you hold unto the fruit of the Spirit, or will you allow disorderly conduct to bring down your level of maturity, and then you start operating in confusion. The best way to test a person is what we call them small fires. We see, how do you deal with small fires? What are small fires, Apostle April? Small fires are things that possibly we can create or possibly that God allows to happen in your life, just little small spurts of confusion. There might be someone that comes to you and talks about you, little petty things that happen on Facebook. Somebody posted something indirectly and called you out. How do you deal with something that's on your job? How do you deal with even in the church? How do you feel when someone gets blessed and you seem like you are up for that blessing? God chose to hop over you and gave it to your sister in Christ. Small fires. I want to know if you're going to inflame it, you're going to pour gasoline on it, or are you quick to smother it, get over it, release it unto the Lord, and keep about your business. Man. I have a problem when I examine someone and I see how they dealt with a small fire. And they had the opportunity to prove unto the Lord that they can handle this, they are mature, they can ask for forgiveness, they can exhibit love, even if they are not in the wrong. But the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. For peace's sake, they decide to exhibit discipline and not allow the circumstance and the atmosphere to affect them in their minds and in their hearts. But it bothers me when I see that maybe you're the person that's in the center of everybody's mess. You know about everybody else's issues. Instead of even smothering the fire and putting it out, you're inflaming it by involving even more people. Instead of going into the Lord and praying. prayer, instead of putting the word of God on it and letting God take care of it, you're involving more messy people. See, that's a good and clear indication of how possibly you will behave in this ministry.
Amen.
You're giving everybody else's advice, but when I look past you through your front door, I see your household is a mess too. But yet you are the answer to everybody else's issues. I have a problem with that. As leaders, which we are all called to be, as leaders, we are examples. I cannot tell you how to have a successful marriage if my marriage is all over the place. If I can't account for Apostle Andrew, he doesn't come home at night. If we're constantly bickering and arguing and we're walking into a service mad at each other, almost ready to fuss each other out in the midst of our members, see, I don't have a pedestal to stand on.
God.
But I know something because of the way me and Apostle have been groomed by God, because of how long we've been together and the many trials that we've had to endure. And when we failed it, God said, okay, back to the basics. I'm going to send you through the ringer again. We had to go through the ringer again, again. He wanted to test us. Are we going to be faithful to one another? When we're not at peace with one another, will one dip off and try and flirt just to feel loved by and go into the comfort of another person's arms? He had to test us in that area. He wanted to test us, how do we behave when we have a lot of money? We've had bouts when we had money and every bill was paid, and how will we remember God and how will we stay faithful to our vows? Will we let money corrupt us? Then he wanted to say, okay, let me test you when you had no money. Will Apostle Andrew Smith and April begin to be at each other's throat because the stress of having bills and debts and creditors calling, will they begin to turn on one another, or will they seek silence in one another's arms, keeping God the mediator in the middle? God had to test us in every area to prepare us for this moment, to be able to affect your life, to be examples in your life, to show you by example with finances, to show you by example through marriage, to show you by example through even individual lifestyles, how to have order. You can have order with yourself. Discipline. You got high blood pressure. So what are you doing with your hand in a bowl of chitlins or pork rind? Why are you eating high sodium? You got a bout with high glucose numbers. Discipline. Why are you eating sugary and high-carb foods? Discipline. Are you working towards a healthier lifestyle? Discipline. Mm-hmm. Have an order. You know you need peace in your house, but yet you don't take a stand for God's salvation and you allow anything and anyone in your life. The discipline is what God is calling us to. Order is synonymous with discipline.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to encourage your heart, people of God, that this is what God is calling, and this is something that we will teach forever because it is kingdom.
Yes,
it is kingdom. It is kingdom. God wants us to have courage and discipline in our life in order to be the best leader, to be the best prophet, apostle, pastor, to be the best CEO. You want to be an entrepreneur, author, whatever it is, life coach, evangelist, whatever it is, lawyer, doctor, businesswoman, businessman, whatever it is that you are hoping to obtain in this life, it's going to take order and discipline as you keep God first. Amen. I love it.
Man.
I love it. I could talk about it all day because I'm one that loves accountability. I love ownership. I love owning what I've done, whether it's a mistake or whether it is a success. I'm big on accountability. I'm big on saying, you know what? It was due to me having a lack of discipline is why I did not achieve success. Or it's because of me and my lack of order is the reason why I'm in this situation. It's time for some of you all to take assessment of your life and own some of the mess and garbage that you are in right now. You can't blame everything on Satan. You can't blame it all on Satan. You have to now examine yourself. If you don't like your life, you don't have any peace, you don't find harmony, it's time to take a step back and say, what can I do? How can I gain order and control of my life so that I can reach towards that harmony or that joy, that peace that God wants me to dwell in? I love it. I love you guys. And the only reason why we say these things and teach this stuff is because we want you to be prosperous. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper, be in health, even as thy soul prosper.
Amen.
That's what we teach here at this ministry. Amen. So we want you to have success in all three things. We don't want you to just be healed. Thank God that ache in your body is gone, but now you're still living in a hellish situation. We don't want you to get that miracle and you got $10,000, praise God, but your mess is still a mess.
Amen.
We don't want you to get blessed. Mm-hmm. Now, praise God, you got to make your marriage and your experience in love, but now you have no discipline in your finances and you're constantly in revolving debt. And I can stand here and tell you that the ministry is debt-free.
Hallelujah.
Ministries are just like businesses. This ministry has no credit card debt. We own no liens on properties. We owe nothing to no man. And
amen.
This is the way we are going to operate going forward. If we can't buy the property in cash, we're not purchasing it. We're going to wait until we have discipline and enough order and saved up finances so that we can go into the bank and say, no, we'll buy it, matter of fact, cash right now, write a check. We want those 4 acres of land. We want this property here. We want this business here. But I love you all. We love you all. We appreciate you guys. Your heart, continue to pray for your leaders. Continue to pray for us and pray for one another as this vision becomes stronger, gets rooted in your heart, and we go out there and we win souls for Jesus. And that's the way life should be. That's what you should do. You should do an assessment daily. That's what I do. But definitely an annual assessment should be in order. I look and I monitor that. Who has been in my life? And of those people who are in my life, who has been effective? Who has caused me grief? Who has empowered me? And if you don't make the fit, then you get X'd out of my life. If I can look back over a whole 365 days and I say, you know what? These two people, they say that they're my friends, yet they don't empower me. All they've done over the last 365 days is borrow from me, never wanting to pour back, never wanting to support anything that I do, but yet I'm supporting them. You know what? This is not a friendship. This is a one-way ship. It's time to make an assessment and cut them off. And I've done that over the years, and let me tell you something. Each year it gets better. Each year I'm happier than I was the year before because each year I'm thinking, I'm strategizing, I'm wising up. The mess that I was in 2 years ago, I should not find myself in that same mess 2 years later. Shame on you. Shame on you. That's why I said a lot of this drama, mess, unhappiness that we're in is because of maybe, possibly, more than likely, you aren't taking a stand and causing order in your life.
Mm,
it's time to stand up, men of God. Stand up, men of God. And you, God has given you rule over your life. You dictate what you want to listen to, who you want to have in your life. If they are not about God's business, then you know what? That's a good indication that you can love them from afar.
Mm-hmm.
I have many acquaintances, but there are very few friends that I have. Mm-hmm. I have thousands of acquaintances, but I cannot tell them that they are my friends because I'm wiser than that. I don't wear that term loosely. But you have some people that think that just because they got 500 friends on Facebook, that they are all your friends. Newsflash.
Not everybody.
So if you die today, let me tell you something. They'll read the post of maybe somebody, your child or somebody saying how you passed away. They may like that status, but then they'll move on with their life.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee they will not stop going to work. I guarantee that they will probably not even stop by your house to make sure your kids got some food.
Amen.
Might not even send you a card. They'll just like your post. Maybe share it. But it won't share because they're mourning you. They'll share, like, look what happened to her. Dang, she died. Nice a grip. And then that's it.
Yeah.
I guarantee it. I had to tell somebody that. Somebody that I knew, they thought they had, I think it was close to 1,000. They were actually thinking that they were their friend. They were sharing all of their business on Facebook and all the people, you know, they're drawn to drama. So when they had a big explosion with their in-laws or with their family, and everybody's, that's okay, people don't judge, you know, I can't stand, you know, they thought that they were really, really friends and support, and I had to give them a wake-up call and say, these people are not your friends. I said, and God will truly show you. It didn't take nothing but just a few months later, slowly but surely, they realized that when they were in need, and those same friends that were liking that post and agreeing with them while they were in the heat of an argument, when they were in need and posted how they needed help, not one of them reached out and said, hey, I got $5 for you. Not one of them, some of them, majority of them are in their own home city. None of them reached out to say, listen, I got an extra dinner. Come by my house and pick it up. You can have some steak, some mashed potatoes, and some vegetables. None of them. I said, I told you so. You'll learn. So God wants us to wise up. He said, I'm your friend. Treat God like he's the best thing since sliced bread. He is your best friend. We love you, God. I love you. Thank you for your love and for your honor.
We know this word has truly empowered you for this week.
And if you want to activate this word and manifest this word into your life, visit our website and sow into it. The website is www.kci.world.
That's www.kci.world, not .com, not .org, for we are worldwide, where there is always something supernaturally happening. That is www.kci.world. As always, we are speaking life over you, and we are excited about your
now, your next, and your new season in Jesus' name.
This has been your weekly supernatural word of empowerment from
the Generals.